Thank you, choir. Our gospel lesson for this morning is the story of the Transfiguration as it comes to us from the book of Mark. Out of reverence for the gospel, I'll ask you to stand for the reading. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Hear now the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
I want to say thank you to the choir this morning, especially because this was the anthem that they sung on Friday for Bob Rose's service. And it's kind of a way to continue to remember him as we go forth into this worship service this morning. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's that Sunday that we find between Advent on the last Sunday of Epiphany, right before we start Lent. And it's a very strange event. We know the story well, but it's still unusual. And it's hard to sometimes wrap our human brains around. Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to go up with him on the mountain to pray. Now, that's not unusual, because Jesus went off by himself a lot of times. We find that in the scriptures where he went away to a deserted place to pray and to commune with his Father. But this time he took with him three disciples. And these are three of the first four disciples. These are the ones that Jesus seemed to be the closest to. And they went up to the mountain to have a little retreat and a time of prayer. And they were so excited. And they went up to the mountaintop. And this is where the kind of unusual events begin to happen. They're praying, and all of a sudden, Jesus becomes white, like no white these disciples have ever seen before. And then, as if Jesus were opening up his Captain Kirk's communicator and saying, "Two to beam down, Scotty," Moses and Elijah just show up out of the blue. And the scriptures say that the disciples were terrified. Well, I believe that I would have been terrified too. Would you? And so we think about this passage. We think about, what does all this mean to us? How are we supposed to fit this passage into our daily lives? Well, the first way I think it is very clear is that the disciples witnessed Jesus in a way that they had never witnessed him before. And on that day, they saw Moses and Elijah as they would have seen him in heaven. They would have saw Jesus the way that God sees Jesus. He wasn't some Hollywood special effects or some razzle-dazzle or something magical. This was Jesus showing them who he truly was. And what does God say to them, to those disciples gathered there? And what does God say to us today? Listen. Listen to Jesus. Jesus is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Well, Peter, you know how Peter is. He wanted to build a memorial to the event, which makes, you know, I can understand that. But what God is saying, no, our work is not on the mountain. It's in the valley. So listen, and then go forth and do what Jesus tells you to do. I think also this particular passage tells us to look, to see. Suddenly they looked around, and the two ghosts were gone, and there was Jesus, and he was standing there on his own. We are invited to listen to Jesus. We're invited to see and to focus on our Heavenly Father. And you see, that's kind of hard to do for us, isn't it? Because we have so many things in our lives that distract us. School, family, career, politics. All of those things can get in the way of our relationship with God. And if those things don't get in your way enough, then you have things like computers and video games and TV and radio and careers and movies. All these things could help us or work with us to help us lose our focus on Jesus. We let other things, other less important things, less meaningful things, sometimes even trivial things, distract us from the purpose, which is what? To love God and serve God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We let other things get in the way of our relationship with God when what we are called to do is to be focused, is to listen, is to see what God is doing in our lives. We're called to stay focused. We're called to help others. We're called to help our children and our youth stay focused. That's what's behind our focus this year of building a vibrant youth ministry. That's why we have children's programs in the church. We want them to learn to listen to God and to focus their lives only on Jesus and for his message for us. Our best influence is our own action and our own personal relationship with God. It helps us to stay focused and to live a life faithful to the call of God in our hearts. And it helps others stay focused as well. We're called to listen to God. We're called to see Him, to focus on Him. And when that happens, when those things happen, we will be transformed. You see, I don't think this passage is so much about Jesus being transformed right before their very eyes. I think it is we are to look at the moment when Peter and James and John were transformed. In this moment of transfiguration, it's not Jesus' appearance that changes. Jesus is who he always was. but it is Peter and James and John's perception of who Christ was that changes. Until this minute, they thought they knew who Jesus was. They thought he was a good person. They knew that he was teaching in a way that others didn't teach. They knew that he was the healer. But they really didn't know for sure until God told them when he said, "Listen to him. This is my beloved son." They were transformed by that experience. But it wasn't an instant transformation. It had to kind of grow, because if you remember the stories later, who was it that denied Jesus three times when they were in the courtyard before the crucifixion of Jesus? It was Peter. So he didn't quite get it completely, but he was learning and he was working. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and preached, and 5,000 souls were saved. We may not change right away, but we will change. We are transformed gradually by a faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ and with others who love and serve Jesus right with us, standing beside us. We are transformed through the guidance and presence of God's Holy Spirit coming in our lives on a daily basis. And that's good, because Christianity is not in the business of information about God, but transformation by God. Russ shared that with us a few minutes ago, that the mission of our church is not to get together and just worship once a week. It is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's making me a disciple. It's making you a disciple. It's making the whole world a disciple. This morning in our 8:45 service, we did a service of response and testimony, response and witness. And Kathy Scott got up and made the most beautiful talk about who God is for her and how she has lived her life loving God and serving each other. What a wonderful testimony. We are not the light, congregation, but we are bearers of the light. And the world needs the light that we bear so much. The light we bear and the good news that we share have the power to change the world, one life at a time. We're not called to stay on the mountaintop. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Do you know what that's like? It feels like it's a wonderful experience. Maybe it was a worship service or a special event that you went to on a retreat or something. The thing about it is, we don't stay on the mountaintop. We have to go home at some point. We have to get out and do the work of transforming the world. We have to go out so the light of Christ can shine through all that we do. God is working in our lives right now to transform our church, to transform each of us, to transform our world. He is working through each and every one of you. Our challenge is to continue to listen to God and to focus on Jesus only. We may not really know how it works, but when we listen to God and focus on Jesus only, God's work of transformation will continue to work in our lives, and our lives and the lives of others will be changed because of who Christ is for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 157, Jesus Shall Reign. We will stand together and sing the verses of the hymn. If you would like to profess your faith in Jesus Christ or transfer your membership from another congregation, I invite you to come and stand with me at the chancel as we sing the hymn. If you would like to come and just